Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. This month, the Public Theater's mobile unit returned to tour the five boroughs with a new bilingual musical adaptation of Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors. Let's listen to a short clip of the show from one public performance. The central mission of the mobile unit dates all the way back to 1957 and brings a public theater production to perform in public parks, community centers, and correctional communities. As of last week, The Comedy of Errors is now being staged at the Public, and all performances are still free. The show features original music as well as an entirely Latine cast, and if you attend, be ready for a lot of laughs. It's Shakespeare with a modern twist. The Comedy of Errors runs through June 11th, and with me now is director Rebecca Martinez. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And composer and book writer Julian Mestre. Hi, Julian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Rebecca, in a previous interview, you said how The Comedy of Errors is resonant now. What is it about this play that you hope connects with audiences?
Well, the one thing, there's a couple of reasons. One is I have felt a great need for joy and lightness and silliness, and just to be able to be in celebration and music. That is a need that I have. So I think that's one of them. And then I think the second one is, this is a story that's many hundreds of years old, that has endured for many hundreds of years. We are taking a very different take on it. But I think the other thing, when I was thinking at through a Latina lens and thinking about it from a cultural perspective, the connection that I instantly saw myself was that this is a play that's actually about family separation. Mm-hmm. And family separation that has occurred because of the arbitrary laws that countries have made, and the borders that they have created to separate families. And so I think that was one of those two combined reasons felt very resonant to me when thinking about this story.
Julian, when you sit down and think, okay, crack your knuckles, I'm going to tackle Shakespeare. Where do you start?
Wow. Great question. I think that, you know, my own experience, you know, I've directed Shakespeare, I've acted in a bunch of Shakespeare, I've read him in school and college, and still there's always a bridge to cross. Even when I see any Shakespeare performance, sometimes I usually fall asleep. It's hard to sort of bridge that accessibility gap. And, you know, the mobile unit's key is accessibility. It's opening up theater and classic theater to new audiences and audiences that may have never seen the play before. And so in my, you know, one of the tools that I use with music is the ability to become accessible and to become a form of communication, right? So the very first songs we wrote really tackled that. It was like, how do we tell the story in different ways? How do we give people a lot of different forms of access? And being bilingual is part of that. Allowing people to understand elements of the plot, elements of these characters in both English and Spanish, and even within the translation of the book, giving people who might not necessarily be able to follow heightened language in English still a chance to have some of that heightened language and wordplay in a different language in Spanish. Yeah.
William, what was something you knew you wanted to keep for sure in this adaptation? And then what was something that had to go?
Is that for me?
Oh, it's for Julian or for both of you?
Oh, Julian.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't hear my name right. So, let's see. So I think that's really something that me and Rebecca were tackling together. I think that, you know, when we're dealing with a show that is hundreds of years old, there are certain things that we don't really, you know, we've moved past, especially in terms of the heightened level of misogyny that is in Shakespeare, that was definitely something we tried to tackle, and especially with songs, allowing characters, particularly female characters that hadn't had really a lot of agency in the show or had been really espousing very conservative beliefs, giving them the ability to have a different take on things, to have their own agency and to be characters in their own right.
Rebecca, do you want to answer? You seem like you're ready to go on that one.
Oh, no. It was definitely a collaboration.
Yeah, no, when we first started talking about it, I knew right on that there were some of the characters, particularly one of the female characters that I did not appreciate how she was written. She did not feel very truthful to me in terms of where I am as a contemporary woman. And that was one of the storytelling of Luciana, the character of Luciana, where I wanted to offer a different perspective on what she was saying and how she was saying it. So that was one of the ones where we looked at initially as targeting to have like, oh, well, maybe we don't want to rewrite Shakespeare. So how about if we make it a song and then we can rewrite it to fit how we want it? And so we took that take. We took that take a lot of times throughout the show.
It's very clever. It's a very clever move. We're talking about The Comedy of Errors. It's a production of the Public Theater's Mobile Unit. All shows are free through June 11th. I'm speaking with composer Julian Mestre and director Rebecca Martinez. There are a few moments in which a troubadour jumps in for a song and summarizes a portion of the play for the audience. Rebecca, why were these breaks necessary, especially in terms of pacing?
But one of the things when we were initially talking about it was the impulse was to think about how street theater happens in Latin America and how you can come across street theater. You can be pulled in mid-show. You can stay for a few minutes or you can leave or you can stay for the whole thing. And just the many times I've seen different performances take place. One of those, the idea of the troubadour was to have music that would invite people and engage them and also like catch them up. We call them catch-up songs, where it would be like, we're going to tell you all the stuff, very Shakespeare style. Here are all the things. And now we're going to tell you all the things again in case like you showed up or like you couldn't follow it or literally, because I think theater is a great place to nap, you took a nap. And now we want to wake you up and just give you an idea of here's, in case you missed it, here's what happened in the past night, like hour.
Huli, when you think about music as a companion to Shakespeare, what is it about Shakespeare that makes it fertile ground for someone wanting to write music about the stories or using some of the language?
Yeah, oh, I think with Shakespeare, you know, we're dealing again with a long legacy. And I think that part of the challenge of that is trying to, you know, these are shows that have embedded themselves in our history and our culture in ways that we don't even think about. And so one of the things I always like to think about is how do we, in doing this piece, not like a museum, right? How do we make this piece our own? And how do we, when we go to other communities, say, well, this is something that belongs to you as much as belongs to anyone else. And so in music, you know, that's why the sounds of the music that I chose, you know, it's really the music I grew up with. You know, it's not one specific genre from Latin America. It's not all mariachi. It's not all Argentine folklore. You know, you've got cumbia, you've got a reggaeton moment, you've got you know, something like Nova Trova, like you've kind of opening up a lot of different styles that also sounds and feels like the streets that we walk through in New York. And that was, you know, and for me, that's why I sort of chose the music that I chose. And with Shakespeare, you know, so much of Shakespeare is based around language and this, you know, this incredible, you know, there's one thing that Shakespeare's done, you know, his plots, you know, a lot of them, you know, even this show, it's based originally on a Plautus play. You know, he always takes plots from different places, mm-hmm. but what he's able to do is use language and really amazing character development to really tell these stories. And so taking that language and taking character, there's no better place than music, which is kind of this amazing form of giving characters way more agency through heightened language to be able to tell their stories. So it feels right in line with a very Shakespearean feel for the show.
Rebecca, was it always going to be a bilingual production from the jump?
We definitely knew that if we were going to be touring it through the communities with the partnerships that the mobile unit has, that Spanish had to be a strong element. And we started thinking about Spanish as being a vehicle in the songs and as a way to communicate story. And the songs ended up being a lot of them are in Spanglish, so that both English and Spanish, but trying to get most of the story is in English. And then but trying to convey the elements of the story as well in Spanish. So if you are someone who doesn't speak English but only speaks Spanish, then you are at least getting a fair amount of what it is that is happening. And then it started to get, we knew we wanted some translations of the text. And so that's when Julian started doing that work as well. But we always knew that Spanish was going to be a strong part of it.
Julian, did you want to add anything before we listen to a clip?
In terms of the Spanish, you know, we began, like Rebecca said, as a way of making the show more accessible to Spanish-speaking audiences. As we started working with actors started putting in, you know, the slang from their countries and finding ways of kind of ad-libbing and adding their own gestures. And then the final statement was, you know, bringing in a sort of heightened language that's inspired on sort of a parallel movement that was happening to Shakespeare, roughly, the Spanish Golden Age, which has its own amazing tradition and actually has a lot of these similar kinds of comedy tropes, especially with, you know, the servant and characters. And so we decided to add some of that in rhyme in Spanish as well.
Let's listen to a short clip from one of the outdoor performances. This is close to the beginning when the play's troubadour sings to the audience. This is from The Comedy of Errors.
I should tell you that most of the show will be performed in English, though it's supposed to take place in two states in ancient Greece. But don't be surprised if these actors switch their language. Pues no son los únicos que son bilingües. There's something in the air here, something not quite right. In Ephesus, things are not as they appear, at least not at first sight.
A good setup. What do you, Rebecca, like about breaking the fourth wall, when actors break the fourth wall?
It is such an amazing tool that Shakespeare offers, mm-hmm. that is... It is not a thing that is useful in every play, but one that is for this one very specifically, since it's supposed to be street theater style and it's in the round and it's something where it is asking to engage audiences who possibly were walking along or who were just happened upon. It is such an incredibly delightful way to ask people to be a part of something. And so I'm all for it.
Where do you stand on the fourth wall, Julian?
I stand very pro in certain situations, right? I think that one of the things that the mobile unit does is really encourage, you know, what Rick was saying, right? It really encourages that. And even in the, even inside the public theater performances, we're just having, you know, the actors are always engaging with the mm-hmm. audience, kind of as if they were right aside next to you. And that very much feels very much in line with the Shakespeare traditions and how engaged the audience was always in those performances. We feel like we're doing honor to that for sure.
We're talking about The Comedy of Errors. It's a bilingual musical adaptation of Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors. It's a production of the Public Theater's mobile unit. The shows are free. They're going through June 11th. My guests are Rebecca Martinez, the director, and Julian Mestre. He's the composer. So you started to describe it a little bit, Rebecca. Would you describe the stage for us and the setup and the way that the actors appear to the audience?
Yeah, the mobile unit has a set form that they employ, which is ours was a 15 by 15 mat that was designed, that was by Emmy Finkel, our scenic designer. And we put a lot of thought into that to, again, bright color to mm-hmm. draw the eye and to like make it stand out in a street setting. And then the audience is seated on all four sides. The actors come in. It's a very small, very intimate space. Eight people fills that space up very quickly. Yeah. And but the actors are also, they're coming in from the side aisles, and they're also performing from behind because we're mic'd just because of the sound and everything. There's singing that happens behind. There's shouting that happens behind. So it is actually, it is sort of immersive, I guess is what I would say.
What challenges does that pose for you as a director? What opportunities does that pose for you as a director?
I've never worked in the round before. That is my first time.
Wow.
But it was this year was the first time I worked in a really deep three-quarter thrust. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept like, okay. And the things that I learned from the round is it is freeing because you know that it's not, no one is going to have perfect sight lines at any time. And so you're like, okay, we know that part of it, we have to keep it moving so that if the sight line isn't great for someone in this moment, just know, just wait a minute. I bet that person's going to move and the picture is going to open up. So there was a lot of fun and play that we got in just learning how to share the performance with different sides of the audience and also not being afraid to give your back to a side. But to know that if whatever side that you're facing, there is still something to see and something to perform in. But it's a challenge, but it's also, it's really fun because it can allow you some, like literally a different show, depending on what side of the stage that you're seated on.
Julian, in the last 30 seconds, anything else you wanted to add about the show?
I think it's a wonderful expression of joy. I think it's a very comic show. And I think it's, you know, I think we're able to bring something very real to Comedy of Errors, which is the story of family separation and what it means to have family in other countries. You know, as someone who grew up with family always in another country and was born in Argentina, I think that the show really speaks to that. I recommend it.
Come and see it.
Yeah.
My guests. Join them. My guests have been Rebecca Martinez and Julian Mesri. We've been talking about Shakespeare's The Comedy of Errors, the mobile production unit for the Public Theater. All shows are free through June 11th. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And that's all of it for today. On tomorrow's show, artist Aliza Nissenbaum. She began volunteering with a Corona-based community space more than a decade ago. She got to know some of the people and she began painting them. The work is as much a narrative as it is portraiture. It's now on exhibit at the Queens Museum. She joins us tomorrow.